بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. We return then back to our discussion of some of the mukhalafat and some of the differences and the oppositions of the Mumayya and the people who have opposed the strong methodology and the firm methodology of Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Hadith and the issues that they have opposed the Sunnah in relation to. In today's session, we look at Abu Usama al-Dhahabi. And as it relates to Abu Usama al-Dhahabi, then I have previously discussed in some 12 parts on YouTube the detailed or more detailed discussion of the oppositions of Abu Usama al-Dhahabi. And so for anybody who wants to know of detail, then I advise you to return back to that 12-part refutation and the other refutations of our brothers in the Maktaba Salafiyya for detail. But we will mention one or two of his issues. From the issues, Ikhwan, that he fell into is he fell into making tafsiq of one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, he referred to one of the companions as a fasiq, and that is a companion, Walid ibn Uqba. He mentions concerning Walid ibn Uqba that Walid ibn Uqba was a fasiq with that qawl that Walid ibn Uqba was a fasiq. And he mentions later, when he was confronted about it and it was raised, that he said that these brothers have raised this issue and so on. And wallahi, I didn't know that Walid ibn Uqba was a companion. When you return back to the original audio, he says, and Walid ibn Uqba radiallahu anhu was a fasiq. And so he claims falsely that he didn't know that he was a companion. But that is one of the observations that we had in relation to him. He likewise makes mention of the fact that the companions, he didn't stop there when it relates to the companions, that the companions, they fell into bid'ah. He claims that there were innovations at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and the companions, they fell into innovations. They fell into bid'ah. And the Prophet ﷺ corrected their bid'ah. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions that none of the companions fell into bid'ah. While Abu Usama, he claims that the companions, they fell into bid'ah. And so this is one of the positions or one of the issues that had given us the stance or caused us to have the stance that we had with him. Another one of the issues is during the same fitna of Ihya al-Turath, he was one that not only did he translate possibly the most detailed refutation of Ihya al-Turath in the English language, after translating this detailed refutation, he then entered into joining with them. He then entered into working for them and receiving a stipendary from them. And I confronted him about this issue. And when I confronted him about the issue, rather than accepting that nasiha and returning back to the aqwal of the people of knowledge, because at that time an offer was made that you, if you leave them, if you leave their payroll, that he would receive a stipendary equal to or better than the stipendary that he now receives from them if he just leaves them. And he rejected that. And so when I confronted him about the statement, he said to me, Ya Aba Hakim, do you believe and do you think that I'm allowing Ihya al-Turath to take me from here? And he pointed to his rear end. And I say to you, Ikhwan, Billahi alaykum, is this then the manner in which nasiha is accepted? Is it the manner in which nasiha is received? And then thereafter went on to go on a campaign against the brothers at Maktaba Salafiyya, that the brothers are oppressive, that they're rough and tough, that the brothers are this, that, and the third. Why? Because we didn't allow or didn't sit back happily as they did when he was present working at Green Lane, that they'd sit back knowing that this man was opposing the Sunnah in a number of issues and no one would confront him. Why? Because he was serving a purpose and he was fulfilling a goal for us. And so none of us are going to speak against him. That was the position that they had with him. Not so Ahl Sunnah. Not so the brothers that are affiliated with Al-Maktaba Salafiyya in Birmingham, that is. And we know that that is similarly the case with our brothers in the US. That our brothers in the US took a similar position and had a similar stance. And from the best of them and the strongest of those who spoke against him is our brother Abu Uwais Ahmad Ali. And he spoke in a lecture that if speech was from silver, then silence is from gold. Wherein he confronted him, confronted his statements. And from the statements that he made was that he said that Sheikh Rabi has made some statements, or I've seen some things from him that causes me to reject what the Sheikh says, or to reject his statements. And as Abu Uwais rightly said, what was it that you saw from him? Make it clear to us, let us know. That makes you reject the statement of this Sheikh and this great alim in our era. Likewise, from the mukhalafat and from his oppositions is him holding on to the false principles of Abu al-Hasan al-Ma'ribi and refusing to take a position, the correct Salafi position in relation to Abu al-Hasan. And Abu al-Hasan al-Ma'ribi, Ikhwani, has a number of qawaid and principles that are revamped and repackaged Ikhwani principles. One of the main principles of Ikhwan, as some of you may know, Ikhwan al-Muslimin is a jama'ah and an organization that was established with the goal of re-establishing the Khilafah, re-establishing the Caliphate. One of their methods in doing so is that they see the unity of the Muslims is elementary to that. And we hear them making the statements such as, we have 1.6 billion Muslims, if we all just came together, then we would conquer the dunya. And so their goal then is, since they are a jama'ah, from the jama'at al-tajmi'iyyah, that is, since they are from the organizations that have no goal and desire except to unite the Muslims and bring the Muslims together, regardless of the aqidah and regardless of the belief that they have, then these jama'at al-tajmi'iyyah, they have a particular approach to uniting the Muslims. As it relates to jama'at Ikhwan al-Muslimin, and their approach is, نتعاون فيما اتفقنا عليه ويأذر بعضنا بعضا فيما اختلفنا فيه, which is their principle, the golden principle of Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin, that we cooperate upon what we agree upon and we overlook each other upon what we disagree upon. One of the worst of the principles that we could possibly promote in our time. And this principle of Ikhwan al-Muslimin is what has caused them to stand hand in hand with virtually every deviant group and deviant sect in the Ummah, because the main thing, the important thing, is La ilaha illallah, they claim. As long as we all believe in La ilaha illallah, then that is the only thing that is important. And as far as everything else, then we cooperate on what we agree upon and we overlook each other on what we disagree upon. And so the people of Bid'ah will stand with them and they will stand with the people of Bid'ah, uniting on the basis of the fact that we are Muslimun. And that principle of Ikhwan al-Muslimin has been repackaged by a number of callers in our time. And from them, the likes of Abu al-Hasan al-Ma'ribi. And he has been the most active and has repackaged those principles in such a way that the people of Sunnah have been beguiled by this repackaging of this false principle of the Ikhwan al-Muslimin. And so, instead of their statement, نتعاون فيما اتفقنا عليه ويأذر بعضنا بعضا فيما اختلفنا فيه, they repackage the statement with principles such as, which is from the principles of Abu al-Hasan, نصحح ولا نجرح, that we correct and we don't make refutation. We correct and we don't make jarh. Anyway, we just correct mistakes. And so, rather than standing against the people of innovation, taking the necessary stance that the Sunnah, that the Salaf used to take, their thing is we just give them nasiha, similar to the kalam that we heard previously from Bilal Phillips. We just subtly advise them, subtly, shway shway. And that we take our time with them, and we don't just refute them. And we don't just speak out against them, because we're going to lose them, which is naturally the argument that they have. Going against the methodology of the Salaf of this Ummah, as though they are wiser than the Salaf of this Ummah. And so, this is again just a repackaged version of cooperate upon what we agree upon, overlook each other on what we disagree upon. Another repackaged principle is the principle of al-manhaj al-wasi', this vast manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah, which again is a principle that we find Abu Usama upon, a principle that we find the likes of Tahir White upon, a principle that we find Shadid Muhammad upon, a principle that we find Mufti Muhammad upon, all of these Mumayya'a, all of them unite upon these principles. That the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah is a manhaj that is wasi', yakhi, it's a vast manhaj. These brothers are just restricting the manhaj to these few principles, these restrictive principles. And thus they become a cult, or they become cult-like. Manhaj wasi', yakhi. That is, the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah, it encompasses far greater than the individuals that the people of Sunnah claim. Again, which is just a repackaged version of the principle of Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin, نتعاون فيما اتفقنا عليه ويأذر بعضنا بعضا فيما اختلفنا فيه. That we cooperate upon, we agree upon what we agree upon, and we overlook each other upon what we disagree upon. Another one of the principles of Abu al-Hasan. Another principle that Abu Usama and the other individuals, they all unite upon, is لا نجعل خلافنا مع غيرنا سببا للخلاف فيما بيننا. That we do not let and we do not allow the difference that we may have as it relates to passing a verdict upon an individual, we do not allow that to cause us to have difference among ourselves. And that is a principle that they all use. And it is again one of the issues that Ibrahim Ruhaili was refuted upon. Because when Ibrahim Ruhaili established, he said, for example, if we disagree upon Jahm bin Safwan, if we disagree upon Jahm bin Safwan, then we shouldn't allow that to cause us to disagree upon or disagree between ourselves. The fact that we disagree about the ruling upon Jahm ibn Safwan. And Ikhwan, again, on the face of it, well, it's just a fair argument. And that is, of course, for the one who is not seasoned in the issues of the methodology and the issues of the manhaj. The one who is clear will understand that our usul are one body of usul. If a person opposes those usul, then these are not like the issues of furu', not like the issues of ahkam and rulings, where one person may have a position and another one has a slightly different position, and we're just open, these issues are open for debate. These are the usul, Ikhwan, that the Salaf of this Ummah united upon each and every one of them. They did not differ in relation to them. As Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. That the Rasul believes in everything that was revealed to him from his Lord, and the mu'minun and the believers, kullun, all of them believe in Allah and the malaika and the books and the Rasul, all of them. That is, they were united upon these fundamentals, all of them. And so these are not issues that are open for debate. Khalas, we differ about such and such, but we shouldn't let that differ or cause difference between us. What is the issue that such and such has? What is the problem with him? Either he has opposed the usul of Ahlul Sunnah or he has not. If he has opposed the usul of Ahlul Sunnah and it has been established, and that is the method of our scholars, Ikhwan, when they speak against an individual, they speak against him establishing that from his statements. If it is established that he has opposed the usul, how possibly will we differ? Unless one of us doesn't know what the usul are. So as long as the only thing that we need to establish is that the man has opposed the usul of Ahlul Sunnah, That is all that we need to establish. Therefore, we will not differ upon a man, upon an individual, if we both know the usul and we're clear upon the fact that this man has opposed it. Either one of them or all of them or some of them. And so, again, it is another tricky way of repackaging this Ikhwani principle. نَتَعَاوَنْ فِي مَا اتَّفَقْنَا عَلَيْهِ وَيَأْذُرُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا فِي مَا اخْتَلَفْنَا فِيهِ. That we cooperate upon what we agree upon and we overlook each other upon what we disagree upon. So all of Ahlul Bidah, we come together and we sing Kumbaya and we unite upon the various bits and bobs that we unite upon and that we see eye to eye in. And in actuality, Ikhwan, it is a false principle from its origin because we don't even see eye to eye upon what they claim, which is La ilaha illallah. The main thing, ya akhi, is La ilaha illallah. We actually don't see eye to eye on La ilaha illallah because from the Muslims and those who hold that La ilaha illallah means that there is no creator other than Allah. From them are those who hold that La ilaha illallah means that there is no hakim, no judge other than Allah, which is the position of some of the groups of takfir and jihad. From them are those who hold that there is no ilah, only Allah. The proponents of wahdatul wujud, those who believe that everything is Allah and Allah is everything. And so we don't even unite upon the meaning of la ilaha illallah. And so these principles then, as anyone who returns back to the detailed refutation that is present on YouTube, then you'll see many manifestations of that within the kalam and within the speech of Abu Usama. And on the basis of that, we stood against him. Again, we ask the question, are we right? Were we right? Or was Abu Usama correct? Should we have taken the position that we took? Or should we just close our eyes to this batil and put our fingers in our ears and pretend that we don't know of it or that it doesn't exist? What should we do? Tahir White, who is another individual, and the people are saying, what are the issues against Tahir White? Tahir White, ayyuhal ikhwa, is one that those who were present in Islamic University at the same time that Tahir White was present and studying will know that Tahir White was at the head of those who were waging war against the people of Sunnah, whether in Philly or in the Islamic University of Medina itself. And I've spoken previously concerning the fact that that was one of the main issues that I had with him, and I advised him concerning it on numerous occasions. I advised him concerning the stance that he had with a group of individuals who were present in Philadelphia, who I'd known of, and I was acquainted with the fact that they were working or doing some work in translating the statements of the scholars and trying to be upon the Sunnah in Philadelphia. And from them at that time was Mufti Muhammad Munir, who was the tape boy at that time. And he, fast forward a few years, he is now apparently a real Mufti, been fast-tracked. And so I stood against and stood up and stood for those people, for those brothers, those who I understood were upon the Sunnah, advised Tahir White on numerous occasions to stop this fight and stop this waging of war against those brothers, and that you should put your hand in their hand and that you should cooperate with them. And wallah, he said, it is correct what you're saying, it is right what you're saying, and I'm going to go back to Philadelphia and do so. And never did he fulfill any of what he promised. Never. In fact, he went back and created a bigger problem. That he strove his utmost. He was striving to get a fatwa against those brothers from Sheikh Al-Fawzan. And I advised him in relation to that likewise. To fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And those brothers are brothers who are trying to be upon the Sunnah. And he agreed. And similarly agreed that he would carry out that which would bring unity between them and him. Did not fulfill. And this affair of waging war, Ikhwan, again, those brothers, I'm not from Philadelphia. But the people of Sunnah defend the people of Sunnah wherever they are. And so, this affair of waging war against the people of Sunnah is not light. It is not light, Ikhwan. And as we've mentioned previously, it is one of the clearest signs of the people of innovation. That they have hatred for the people of Sunnah. They have dislike and hatred for them. And it likewise goes against the affair of Al-Wala wal-Bara. The asl and the fundamental of Al-Wala wal-Bara is that we have Wala for the people of Sunnah. And we don't fight against them and wage war against them and try utmost to destroy them and bring them down. Unless they oppose the Sunnah and they are advised and they remain staunch upon that opposition. In which case we make rad of them, as Ahlul Sunnah always have. We refute them, as Ahlul Sunnah always have. And we make their faith clear, as Ahlul Sunnah always have. That has not changed and will not change. And this is the problem that they have with us. Because we won't remain silent. And because we understand when those usul are being opposed. That it is unfortunate that they don't seem to understand them. And perhaps, Ikhwan, that returns back to the fact that they were never mulazimeen of the Mashaykh of Medina. They were never mulazimeen. One or two of them attended some durus. But the brothers who were present in Medina at that time will tell you, they were not mulazimeen. That is whether we're speaking about Shadid Muhammad, whether we're speaking about Tahir White, those brothers were not mulazimeen. They would visit. Na'am. They had relationships. Na'am. Does that mean they never attended a dars? Of course it does not. But they were not as this big image that we're hearing right now, that they, mashallah, were students of those mashaykh. They were not mulazimeen of the mashaykh. And thus we see these errors arising in their methodology, these big holes arising in their manhaj. And so they're being made out as though there's some academic geniuses who have, mashallah, excelled and on every level of academia. And we're hearing that being claimed about Tahir White. Those who have the inside scoop will know that Tahir White, the reality is that he didn't even pass the examination to get onto the masters. Now that's something that many will not be able to tell you. But that there was royal intervention. And that he went to visit a prince and received a letter. This is all inside information now. But the point is, the point that we're trying to make with this is that let us deal with people, Ikhwan, in the realms of reality. Those who know, know. And those who don't know, then should remain silent. Those who know, know. Because the image that is being painted right now, and it is for a reason. It is for a reason. The image that is being painted right now is that we have a marja'iyya that is kamila. We have a body that we can return back to in all of our affairs. We need no one else. If you want shuyukh and you love shuyukh, alhamdulillah, we have that. Al-Sheikh al-Fulani wa al-Sheikh al-Fulani. If you love academia, alhamdulillah, we have academics who have far excelled the other students in the West. If you love a bit of YouTube, then we've got our little YouTube entertainers. If you like your chat shows, then we have our own Islamic chat show host. And if you like fatawa, then heck, we even have a mufti. Ikhwan, understand what is taking place here. Understand it, look at it, see it for what it is. Understand it well. Similarly, in relation to the affair of Tahir White, another issue that I advised him personally concerning which again returns back to this same affair of uniting the people of innovation. When I was in Philadelphia, when I was invited by Germantown Masjid to attend the Dawra of Sheikh Saleh Al-Suhaimi, Sheikh Tarhib Al-Dawsari, that I was surprised one of the mornings to be told that we have a meeting after Fajr. I was not told about any meeting or given any information about any meeting, but I was surprised to be told that there's a meeting after Fajr. In any case, Bismillah, if there is a meeting, then of course I'll attend and we'll see what this meeting is about. Anyhow, to my surprise, when we attended the meeting was one that had in it, as we walked into a hall, the hall was filled with the imams of bid'ah and innovation from across Philadelphia. Imams from various communities and masajid. Imams from the H.Rapp Brown, Jameel Al-Amin community. Imam Asim and those who were with him. Imams from the Warif Deen Muhammad community, well known in Philadelphia as Wobbly D. And that community, Ikhwan, for those of you who don't know, then Warif Deen Muhammad is the son of Elijah Muhammad. And he claimed that he has entered correct Sunni Islam. And of course, this was no, couldn't be, couldn't have been further from the truth. He started off claiming that he was the Messiah and the Mahdi, and that he was the Christ that you have been awaiting. And then they, from yani the establishment of the Jama'ah, once the Jama'ah was established, held all types of belief, rejection of ahadith. And he's saying that indeed, if you want to, or if you want to follow all of the ahadith, then you should leave this community, because I'm telling you right now, I don't accept all of the ahadith. Or his statement concerning Musa alayhi salatu salam, when he said, brothers and sisters, you will never convert intelligent people to religion today with unrealistic, symbolical stories like this. Or his statement concerning those who practice plural marriage, that they are cursed by Allah Azza wa Jal. Or his statement that wearing the hijab, that the women don't need to wear the hijab because their hair is their hijab. Or his statement concerning Christians, that I don't feel like Christians have to follow my religion to improve their lives. I don't feel like that, because I feel that some Christians are living very good lives. And so this Warif Deen Muhammad, and there are a number of masajid that they have across the city, and lo and behold, some of those a'imma were present within the meeting. A'imma from various communities, Ikhwan. And so I was present, confused and extremely angry. After the meeting, we left the meeting and I gave him some harsh words, Tahir White. And again, he agreed and then did not fulfill what he agreed. Some harsh words. And this, Ikhwan, is something that we see is ajib. And it possibly puts in to context when the various fitna have occurred in Philadelphia. For example, the fitna of the Asha'ira and the rise of an Ash'ari community with da'wah that the brothers who were upon the Sunnah had to fight against in Philadelphia. We saw no participation from Tahir White in fighting against that bid'ah and that deviation. The brothers were alone. Where was this great academic then? Fast forward to our time. In fact, even back then, in addition to that, one of the things that he was running around to Mashaykh with was that our brother Abu al-Hasan Malik, Hafidhullah, was extreme. Why was he extreme? Because he spoke about Bilal Phillips in Masjid al-Aqsa in Philly. Because he spoke against Bilal Phillips, who was extreme. And so can we see how these manahij, can we see how the ittija and the orientation of all of these individuals come together? Can we see this ikhwaniyya shaping? Can we see what is taking place? Can we see it? No speech against Abu Muslima, not a kalima, not kalimat istinkar. No speech against Abu Usama, none. In advising Shadid Muhammad to take the job in UMM, the United Muslim Masjid, which is the Ikhwani Qutbi, Hizbi Masjid. No advice or no warning against Yasir Qadhi, who was one that used to attend the meetings of the Americans and give da'wah in those meetings. As our brother Kashif Khan will tell you in detail, who attended and was given da'wah by Yasir Qadhi and was pushed forward by Tahir White. Where is the warning against Yasir Qadhi and the clarification? Fast forward then to our time. We see lectures with NOI. We see Louis Farrakhan happy and pleased with the participation of Tahir White, and that he sent out his appreciation for his participation. And those of you who, I'm sure everybody knows about Nation of Islam, those of you who don't know Ikhwan, then they are like unto the Ahmadiyya in their claiming that there's a prophet after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're rejecting the a number of the fundamentals of our deen, and there's no doubt that they're upon kufr. They're rejecting belief in the angels, rejecting a belief in the hereafter. The hereafter to them is when the black man gains dominance on earth. They're waiting for a spaceship to come and take individuals or take the black man away and bid'a kufriya ajiba. Interpretations of various verses in the Book of Allah, the uses of the Bible in their sermons and in their speeches, and other than that, well known. Ikhwan, I don't believe any of us need to go in any detail. White man is the devil, and other than that. And so we give a lecture alongside them, again similar to the methodology of Bilal Phillips. We subtly make subtle points about deen and about issues of Islam. None of them, of course, Ikhwan, were direct issues, dealing with direct issues connected to the Nation of Islam. Of course, if they were, you wouldn't have Louis Farrakhan giving the type of praise that he gave. And so you just become a propagation tool for the Nation of Islam. That is all that effectively takes place. And then he lectures about moderation in Islam. Again, of course, moderation as opposed to the extremism of some of the Shabab. Why? Because we're now a sophisticated scholar. Yani, and our Ikhwaniyah has now developed. Our Tamyi' has now developed. And so, Ikhwan, the people of Sunnah are not taken by this whatsoever, not impressed by it whatsoever. And these issues, brothers and sisters, we need to understand that when we make these statements, when we take the positions that we take, when we take the stances that we take, when they are based upon legitimate observation, legitimate knowledge, legitimate experience, knowledge of history, legitimate issues. It is not Ikhwan guesswork or jealousy, mashallah. Everybody that is spoken against is jealousy. Everybody that gets spoken against, we're jealous. You know, it is ajib that we should hear these statements. These tens of dozens of individuals that we've spoken against for opposing the Sunnah, we're jealous of all of them. All of them were jealous of Ikhwan. Ahlul Sunnah have love for the people of Sunnah, those who call to the Sunnah, and those who propagate the Sunnah, and those who call to the ulama of the Sunnah. They have love for them, and they propagate them, and they promote and they push them, whether they are from of the same background or not. Ahlul Sunnah unite on the basis of their love for the methodology and the Sunnah, and their dislike for opposing the methodology and innovation. That is what unites Ahlul Sunnah, ayyuhal ikhwa. These issues are valid issues, valid observations. And they are not, Ikhwan, dhunoon, and conjecture. And it is imperative that we understand that. Ahlul Sunnah never work with dhunun, never act upon conjecture. And if you are not clear with the positions or what the positions are based upon, then it is important that you study. It is important that you research. It is important that you ask the necessary questions, that you may be upon clarity. كذلك نسأل سبحانه وتعالى يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضاه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.